Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Castle Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can reach us through WCTCAM or RestaurantGuysRadio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm pretty well. How are you?
You know, I'm great, and we have a wonderful guest coming on later in the show. Thomas Keller will join us again for the second time.
The best of the best.
Yeah, he was an early guest on the show years ago, and his book, Under Pressure, Cooking Sous Vide, is a tremendous book about a topic where there aren't a lot of books about it. It's really great. So we'll talk to him later in the show, but I'm also excited by this time of year. The beginning of spring is the beginning of maybe the most dynamic season, especially being a locally driven restaurant in the Northeast. And you know, it's funny. You and I have been doing this radio show for 4 years now, more than 4 years now. And we've been talking about cooking locally and seasonally and going to the green market. And I just want to point out that we've been doing that since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were doing it in 1992, we would get quizzical looks as to what are you talking about, you know? And so we've been slaving away in obscurity here in New Jersey. No, not exactly. But we've been, you know, doing this since before it was fashionable. And I still love what we do. I love that aspect of our cuisine. And we've taken, you know, we have relationships with farmers now who we've met with in January and February and March talking about what to plant. And we reap the benefits of those things later in the summer.
One of the things that we did in 92, and I'm very proud that we were doing in 92, but I still really enjoy, is marking the seasons with the types of foods that we create and we eat and we bring into the restaurants. It's very exciting to me still 17 years later to see that as the seasons change, the cool new foods that come in and out of seasonality.
And what's exciting to me as well now is that our customers are as excited about it as we are, which is a little different than it was in 92. But you know, it's funny. We used to send many things have changed. One is now we have, instead of the one little 50 seat restaurant where you were the bartender and I was the maitre d' on one night and I was the bartender and you were the maitre d' on the other night, we have two 125 seat restaurants, two different kinds, one Italian, one American, one contemporary American. Both really focused on seasonal cuisine. And what we used to do was we'd send out postcards at great expense six times a year. If people came to the restaurant or came by, they would know about these new things.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and I encourage you all to sign up for our mailing list. Go to stageleft.com or katherinelombardi.com. I don't know if we have it up on restaurantguysradio.com, or send us an email to Francis.
It's all linked either way. You can get from one website to the other pretty easily.
Even if you're not in the area, because we send out a weekly email blast every week.
Mm-hmm.
We communicate with our customers every week. And sometimes they can't come into the restaurant, but they'll drop an email back. And, you know, one of the interesting things is, in addition to the weekly email a couple of weeks ago, we sent out the weekly email on a Wednesday about some cool stuff that was coming up. We got a great response. And then on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Friday, we got in the first morels of the season, the first really good shipment of morels. And the chef made them with the Saddam family has a farm here for three generations, and we're friends with the Saddams. So we had a Saddam farm hen's egg, some shaved mint, shaved asparagus.
There were ramps in there, some fresh ramps.
Ramps in there, and lamb belly with a big pile of morels.
Basically, we made a little lamb bacon. It was spectacular with morels and a nice, lovely spring broth.
And they took the Saddam farm hen's egg, and they just poached the yolk. And so when you cut into it, it's sort of, you know, all over your the rest of the dishes. I know that sounds kind of gross, but it was really sexy.
I was hungry until you made that noise. I'll be honest with you.
So anyway, the chef brings it down and says, these just came in today. They came in a little early. What do you think? I was like, great, let's get it on special tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent out another email. And I said, you know, listen, I'm sorry to bother you twice in a week, but
we only send one email a week.
I just had this thing, and it was great. And it's morel season. We did a tremendous business of people who came in. You know, I sent the email at 5:00. 6:00, people walked in the restaurant. I got the email. Where are the morels?
And what I'm going to tell you is by 8:30, We were out of soft-shell crabs.
And by
10 o'clock, we were out of morels.
And we brought in enough soft-shell crabs for the whole weekend.
Right. We thought we were buying crabs for the weekend.
You know, there are ways in which modern technology separates us and keeps us at our desk and we work too much. But there are ways in which it can help us connect to local places that we love and be a way that we can communicate. And I'm finding that through email and through my Facebook account, we're establishing Facebooks for the pages for the restaurants.
You can become a fan of the restaurants if you'd like. Actually, probably pretty soon you'll be able to become a fan of the show as well Facebook.
But so I posted on my personal Facebook account, and people are as enthusiastic as we are. So it's just an exciting time of year. But the way we've taken that temperate season is we do a lot of canning. We put up a lot of fruit over the summer. We put up a lot of vegetables over the summer. To serve that house preserved stuff is great. But now that the next year is here.
The next season starts, and it's so exciting. Right at the right time.
Well, and it becomes an ongoing dialogue in a way that we sort of march through the year together. It's part of the relationship that we share this, and I think that's what's really cool about this whole thing. Well, we're going to talk with Thomas Keller in just a moment about his wonderful book, Under Pressure Cooking Sous Vide. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, WCTC AM and RestaurantGuysRadio.com. You know, if you're looking for a perfect restaurant or a home-cooked meal in the Garden State, look no further than Dining Out Magazine, New Jersey. Dining Out's the premier dining guide for northern and central Jersey. It provides the right information to help you make your dining decisions. Whether you're looking for a romantic dinner, a power lunch, entertaining a large group, finding the perfect caterer, or just a night out on the town, Dining Out provides a sample menu, beautiful pictures and reviews, and over 100 of the best restaurants in the state are included. Of course, Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left among them. Dining Out Magazine and DiningOut.com are the go-to dining resource for the Garden State. Aside from comprehensive restaurant listings, section, you'll also find in every issue recipes from your favorite chefs, profiles, interviews, and features on dining trends, both in the state and around the country. The latest edition explores the hidden treasures of rural Italy, the finest Italian foods made only by hand, a do-it-yourself journal of wine, beer, and cheese, and unique cocktails from seasoned bartenders throughout the Garden State. Not to mention a list of upcoming events, classes, and charity events hand-picked by Dining Out senior editors. You can pick up your copy today at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Whole Foods, or visit them at www.diningout.com to view all the restaurants listed and join their subscription list. Dining Out is the ultimate must-have resource to feed the inner foodie in you. That's at diningout.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Joining us again from California is Chef Thomas Keller. You know him of The French Laundry in California, Per Se in New York City, Bouchon and Ad Hoc Restaurants, and the author of several cookbooks.
Chef Keller, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Your new book is Under Pressure, Cooking Sous Vide, a hotly awaited book and a book that is not really written for the home cook. It's more, although I think home cooks will find it fascinating, this is really a professional book about a relatively new subject. Very exciting stuff.
It is. We wanted to write a book for the professionals. This is something that this technique is being employed across the nation, across the world, and I wanted to get the information out there that we've been able to learn and understand and help other cooks understand it as well.
Well, I'll tell you, we use sous vide in our restaurants quite regularly, not for all of our cuisine, but for a small percentage of our cuisine. But Mark and I have eaten it at your restaurants, Per Se and the French Laundry and
Bouchon.
And Bouchon. You're really one of the masters of this type of cooking, and the book is beautiful. It's instructive to a professional, and I think it's interesting for a home cook, though I think it's a little challenging for most home cooks. But for our listeners, some both professional and food enthusiasts, why don't you tell us about sous vide cooking?
Well, sous vide cooking is, you know, to me in layman's terms, it's a boil in a bag. It's something that has actually been around for quite some time. The sous vide technology began in the 50s, and it was used as vacuum packing technique. Sous vide is a vacuum packing technique, for the listeners to understand. And that vacuum packing technique was developed in the 30s for coffee, you know, to keep coffee fresh. And, of course, we see sous vide or vacuum-packed coffee and vacuum-packed products all the time. Even our lettuces in the grocery store today are vacuum-packed. They don't look like they're vacuum-packed because they've taken the oxygen out and replaced that oxygen with an inert gas. But nonetheless, it keeps the freshness. Because what we want to do, when you think about vacuum-packing something, what we're trying to do is remove all of the oxygen, because oxygen is what spoils things. So once you remove that oxygen, we're able to extend the shelf life, extend the freshness of things as it relates to fresh products or sometimes cooked products. In the 50s, a company named Cryovac started cryovacking turkeys, and that began the availability of turkeys in America year-round. Up until that point, turkeys were only available around Thanksgiving. And then, of course, in the 70s, two French food scientists began developing sous vide techniques with very well-known chefs. And one of them, named Bruno Gosseau, who I've worked with, the other is Michel Praluce. And Bruno has been kind of our guru when it comes to sous vide technology and sous vide cooking. And again, what that is really boiling in a bag. When you think about cooking, even conventional cooking, you're reading conventional cookbooks, it's always everything's about time and temperature. Cooking is about time and temperature. You know, how long you cook something at what temperature. Sous vide cooking, you know, using an immersion circulator, which is basically a heater that circulates water and maintains a very, very specific temperature down to 1/10 of a degree. We're able to put products in a bag, sous vide them or remove all the oxygen, immerse them in a water bath that's at a very specific temperature, and cook them for the appropriate amount of time. So what we have is really perfection in that cooking process. We've been able to really dial it down to a very, very specific time and very specific temperature for an array of products.
And I think that many people may not realize that when you talk about cooking stuff for a long time, you can cook things for 8, 10, 24 hours.
48 hours.
And 72.
And some of the advantages that you point out about sous vide cooking, and that, of course, we in the industry have found about sous vide cooking, is that the product doesn't shrink, the moisture doesn't leach out, you don't leach your flavor into your boiling water or your sauce or into the ether of the oven. Really fascinating stuff.
It's very controlled.
But at the same time, you know, it's not just boil in a bag. I mean, my family really goes for the boil-in-the-bag peas at Thanksgiving, and it's always like a big puffy bag floating on top of the water, and it's, you know, just it, this. We're not talking about throwing stuff in a pot of boiling water and having it sort of bang around. You know, in your book, you deal a lot with making sure that the right amount of air has come out of the bag, making sure that how much contact through the plastic between the product and the water and the temperature of the water. What kind of temperatures are we talking about?
I mean, you know, it's all about precision, you know, and again, I mean, a chef's goals have always been to be more and more precise with their cooking techniques, and I think that's what, you know, that's what sets us apart, you know, is our quest for that precision, that sense of refinement. Sous vide cooking for us is added another dimension to our cooking. It hasn't replaced, you know, this is something that I wanted to stress, it hasn't replaced our other techniques. It hasn't replaced sautéing or roasting or braising or boiling or things like that we use. It's an addition.
And in some dishes, it's used in concert.
For cooking, we use it as a tool, a new tool.
In some dishes, it's used in concert, where you sous vide something and then finish it on in a sauté pan or
exactly.
And one of the things about your book is you've done a lot of the work to find out precisely how long certain things should be cooked. The margin for error seems to be greater. I mean, it's harder to overcook something, whereas that's the fear, especially with delicate proteins like fish. This is a more forgiving method if you miss the exact moment, right?
It is in a way, but you know, you have to be careful with it as well. I mean, there are tolerances. Let's take meat. You asked about, you know, what temperatures we cook things, and so we know through experience and through history that, you know, a medium rare piece of beef or lamb, for example, or venison, you know, cooked to around 61 degrees centigrade, it's about 134 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Roughly,
approximately, but we know these temperatures, and so when we're cooking something sous vide, we're cooking a piece of meat sous vide to that internal temperature of 134 degrees or 61 degrees Celsius. We can gauge that and time that. Now the difference is, you know, when you cook a piece of meat conventionally, you're cooking it at a higher temperature than you actually want. Internal temperature, medium rare, as opposed to cooking or sautéing a piece of lamb or a piece of beef on top of the stove, you know, at 400 degrees, for example. So it's really about when you take that piece of meat off of the fire that will really define how well you're able to hit that mark of medium rare. So the other thing that happens is that you have that bullseye effect, which means that, you know, the exterior of that piece of meat that you're sautéing is going to be well done, and then there's another layer that's medium well, and then there's another layer that's medium, and then finally you have that center bullseye, it's medium rare. We all know that when we cut a piece of steak open, we're looking for that medium rare, we're looking for that center cut that looks like, we're looking for that center bullseye that looks medium rare, that tells us that piece of meat's medium rare. We also know it's medium rare by texture, the way it feels in the mouth. Now when you cook a piece of meat medium rare sous vide, it's medium rare from edge to edge.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is deceiving because it looks actually rare. It looks much rarer than it actually is because there is no variance. You haven't heated it up past the point of medium rare.
Right, and you
don't have that bullseye effect. You have a piece of meat that's edge to edge, medium rare. Now, it's deceiving because, as I said, it looks much rarer than it is. But then you go back to the textural thing because when you taste it, when you put it in your mouth, you realize, oh, that is medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, if you cook it for too long, you know, if you continue to cook it, it's not going to appear to be more than medium rare because the albumin that's in the blood will not turn opaque.
It doesn't turn brown.
You still see through it, in
right.
other words. So you'll cook it past the time that we need to cook it for medium rare. And there's a tolerance, you know, whatever that tolerance is, depending on the size of the piece of meat, of course. There's different tolerances depending on the size of the piece of meat. But let's just say that tolerance is 10 minutes that we can have that piece of meat in our bag, in our water, cooking at medium rare. And we leave it in for 35 minutes, which is, say, 25 minutes longer than we should have. It'll still appear to be medium rare, but when you taste it texturally, you'll know it's medium or medium well.
Huh.
So it's very deceiving, and it's not foolproof. You have to be very, very careful in the same way that you do that you're cooking conventionally.
Well, you know, it's funny. To harken back to that point about it being edge to edge, the same temperature and the uniform temperature is the great thing about sous vide, because you know you can't do that in an oven. You can't put meat in a 135 degree oven and expect that it will become 135 degrees uniform throughout, because air doesn't conduct as efficiently as water, and you're going to have an internal temperature that's in the danger zone for the growth of bacteria for too long.
Can we just talk for a moment about why the New York City Health Department has issues with sous vide?
Well, primarily because they didn't really understand it. It was something that was new to them, something that was foreign with them, and they were concerned, rightly so, that it may impact, you know, the health of the consumer. And I agree with that, because there are many different machines out there. You know, there's the homemakers units that don't really extract the all of the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
There are not really set parameters for how to cook. There's an opportunity, you know, to have bacteria in the bag, and you know, there are some bacteria which are anaerobic, which will continue to grow without oxygen. So we really need to be really, really careful about that. And I applaud the New York City Health Department for kind of saying, wait a minute, guys, you know, we have to understand this better in order to regulate it and make sure that you are practicing safe methods.
But we need to.
They required us to do, you know, after a lot of conversations, and we brought Bruno Gosseau up from Cuisine Solutions, which is, you know, who's our partner, in sous vide technology, so to speak, and educated the New York City Health Department so that they understood it, and then they came back and said, okay, guys, you know, we appreciate that these are the parameters that you have to work within, and one of those parameters was creating a HACCP plan, a hazardous analysis of critical control points. And as daunting as it may seem, you know, this was developed for NASA when we started sending astronauts into space to make sure that the food that they were eating in space was free of any bacteria or any foodborne illness. So we established our HACCP plan, and they check it. You know, they come and check it periodically when they do their site inspections of the restaurant to make sure that we were documenting every step of the process as we're taking through the sous vide steps. Now, of course, this has been, you know, tremendously helpful and influential, and also raising our awareness all around, you know, all of our cooks now, the awareness is raised, not just in sous vide cooking, but in all cooking. So I think it's been an extremely positive move on the New York City Health Department's behalf to make sure that we understand what we're doing, we understand what techniques we need to employ, we understand the machines, and they understand what we're doing. We've helped educate them on what we're doing as well, so they can feel comfortable.
Well, also, the vacuum packing meats or fish or any produce that we vacuum pack, it's never going to be perfect. So there's always going to be some air in there. There's always going to be some degrading of product inside that vacuum seal. It's not going to keep the food forever.
I think the fear, and one of the things we dealt with our chef and we dealt with our staff, was just because the food always looks good, even though there may be a problem, you know, with traditional methods of storing food, you sort of get there's this see and smell test, you know. We are very careful to make sure that our staff isn't lulled into a false sense of security by saying, okay, well, that's cryovac'd. It's, you know, we don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, do you find that?
Right, well, I mean, you know, again, you know, that's part of the process. You know, everything is dated. You know,
right.
Everything is labeled. Everything is dated. You can't stay in the cryovac for more than 72 hours. So, you know, again, it's really part of that process. But remember, under pressure and the type of sous vide cooking we do at the restaurant is the same type of cooking we do at the restaurant without that technique. In other words, it's a la minute cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We're not necessarily cooking things that we would not normally cook ahead of time. In other words, you know, if we're gonna butter poach our lobster, we're gonna use the sous vide technique. We're putting that lobster. We're getting our lobster in that morning. We're processing it. We're putting it in the bag that afternoon. We're cooking it that evening, and that's it. It doesn't stay in the bag for days, that lobster. That lobster goes in the bag for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and then being used. On the other hand, if we are braising short ribs, which is something that, you know, conventionally we cook for, you know, for a long period of time and hold, then we do the same thing with the sous vide technique. It doesn't the amount of time that something's in a bag or the amount of time that something's cooked doesn't vary from when we do conventional cooking.
I do think that was a misconception for a lot of people. I do think people think that you're vacuum packing it and then you can just let it sit there forever.
Right. No. This under pressure is about restaurant cooking in an a la minute way.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Chef Keller about that very specific thing. We're going to talk about lobster and bone marrow and butter and immersion cooking in just a moment, so stick with us. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and RestaurantGuysRadio.com. I would like to announce the most exciting new project Mark and I have launched in years. We've teamed up with some old friends, Mike and Jennifer Schnur, and worked with our chefs and purveyors of artisanal food products to create RestaurantGuysChocolate.com. Yeah, baby, we've created a line of extraordinary and delicious chocolates in a palette of thoughtful and complex flavors. They're sexy, they come in a great, beautiful red box, they're handmade, and they make a perfect gift or a perfect personal indulgence. We ship overnight, or you can pick them up at the restaurants. The website is RestaurantGuysChocolate.com, or find the link at RestaurantGuysRadio.com. We put our heart and soul into every box, and each one's made by hand. There's a little bit of my soul in every piece of candy, that's right, and a little bit of Mark's too. So check out RestaurantGuysChocolate.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We're having a wonderful conversation with Thomas Keller, famous chef and author of many books. His most recent book is Under Pressure. It's a professional book, but if you're interested, if you're a foodie at home at all, you should really pick it up. It's a beautiful book with wonderful illustrations. It's about sous vide cooking, which is a method of cooking that is really overtaking most of the great professional kitchens in the country and around the world. Chef Keller, this book, I can't imagine that it's only intended for professionals, though it really, I mean, to cook sous vide at home, you would really have to get some equipment that it's not really friendly for home yet, and that's not the purpose.
Yes and no. I mean, if you look at the French Laundry Cookbook, which was written 10 years ago, we did a technique in there for a duck breast where we compress it in plastic wrap and lightly poach it in water that was on top of the stove that's at a simmer. You know, of around 100, and I think it was back then around 180 degrees, you know, and it was cooked for 5 or 6 minutes. So you can do it at home. You just have to be careful. I mean, again, it's not going to be the same type of sous vide cooking that we do in the restaurant, but certainly, you know, it just requires a technique that we use by putting a product in plastic wrap and compressing. What I mean by compressing is rolling it really tight so that you roll all the air out of it and then tie the end so it almost looks like a sausage, if you will, and then putting that in water. And of course, we do that, you know, again, a la minute or at the moment. It's not something we do ahead of time.
I'm also going to...
But it is possible. We've done some things where we're slow cooking in different liquids as well, which is a type of... When we talk about sous vide cooking in our restaurant, we're not just talking about vacuum packing. I wanted to bring that point up as well. It's also, you know, part and parcel using this immersion circulator that we have employed, which is the unit that maintains specific temperatures in liquid, and that liquid could be a fat, you know, it could be a stock, or it could be water, as we've spoken about before.
I also want to mention that, let's just talk about in just a few years, these immersion circulators were tens of thousands of dollars not that long ago, and now they're just a couple of thousand dollars you can buy an immersion circulator.
Right, or less. I mean, you can buy them today for around $900, I think.
It wouldn't surprise me to see the home version of the immersion circulator come out into the marketplace.
Oh, they're working on it now. I mean, the major appliance companies are working on it now, and they see the merit of doing sous vide at home. I don't know if you'll get to the point where you're going to have a vacuum packing machine at home and actually prepare the base product for sous vide cooking. I think there's certainly a wonderful market for a great food companies to come along and produce really, really wonderful food using the sous vide technology that you can then take home and use an immersion circulator that's made for the home to prepare a meal.
Well, let's go back to something you touched on in two different ways, is this lobster dish you have on page 82 of your book. You talk about using, if I read it right, the immersion circulator to circulate butter at a specific temperature,
right,
and then cook lobster in the butter, not under vacuum.
Right. Right. Now, if you look at the history of the butter poached lobster, which began almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know. We stole it. We have it on our menu. It's great.
Yeah, we used to on the stove, we would keep, you know, our Bermonte or our emulsified butter in a pot on the stove over a very low flame, or sometimes just the pilot light to maintain a very low poaching liquid, and we would cook our lobster tails in there. Now, obviously, you know, there's a real craft in that and some variances because, you know, you're adding, you know, a colder lobster tail to warmer butter, and you're bringing temperatures up, you're reducing temperatures, all these different things. Sometimes the tail was cooked perfectly, sometimes it was a bit overcooked, sometimes a bit undercooked. It really depends on the quality of the cook and his technique and understanding the craft of butter poaching lobster. When we opened Per Se, I said, you know, we have this technology with the immersion circulators and the sous vide technology. Let's cryovac, or let's, you know, put in a bag our lobster tails with the butter and then just immerse that bag in water at a very specific temperature. Perfect every time. But I didn't feel it had the same quality of butter penetration, that richness that I was looking for. So we decided the next step, the evolution of that, was then to remove the lobster tail from the bag and replace the water with the emulsified butter or the Bermonte in an immersion circulator bath and let it go at that.
And it's fascinating to look at the evolution of that because, you know, you did lobster tails poached in butter, and then over the course of the next couple of years, that, you know, that appeared on many every
Absolutely.
Chef in America said, that's a great idea, we have to do that.
And chef, you just used one of my favorite expressions of all time, quality of butter penetration. I'm using that everywhere I go.
Because
Most
people are happy.
What do we look for there?
Most people are happy with any butter penetration, but when you get, you got to really manage the nuance of the quality of the butter penetration. That's right. You know, you're in a professional environment.
It's all about finesse.
Well, but another point I was making earlier is while this is just full of information, frankly, information that we can use, and we've talked about some of the things in here with our chef that we're, you know, there are techniques here and insights into sous vide cooking that are tremendous for the professional. This is it. And by the way, the pictures really do help in explaining the concept and what things should look like. And pictures are very important in explaining technique, I think. But this is a coffee table quality book. I mean,
but,
if you're interested,
like all Thomas Keller books, this is spectacular.
I mean, just to look at these things, if you just from a visual perspective, why do you intend it for consumers to have on their coffee table and look at this stuff?
Well, I think there's such an interest in cooking today that there's a crossover between professional and consumer. And I think that the consumer, you know, who continues to increase their knowledge and level of sophistication relates to food and food knowledge, it's interesting for them to learn about it. They see it on menus. They read about it in newspapers and magazines. They hear about it on radio like we're talking today. And I think they're very curious about what this technique is, what it is, and this gives them an opportunity to really learn about it in a way that's not textbook, if you will. And you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to have Under Pressure kind of look like French Laundry and Bouchon, so that when they're on the bookshelf, they all look nice.
Well, it's a beautiful book. We need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And I want to talk with you about one final thing before we let you go, which is how this affects the craft of cooking, because it is really revolutionary and different in the a la minute preparation.
Right.
So we'll be back in just a moment talking more with Thomas Keller about his new book, Under Pressure. You can find the book at restaurantguysradio.com and even click on it and buy it through there, and you find out all about Thomas Keller. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC AM and restaurantguysradio.com.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't based on lighting. Lights on 9 is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on 9 supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on 9 has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on 9, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightson9.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mark and Francis, the Restaurant Guys, stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. We're talking with Thomas Keller, one of the best chefs in America. His most recent book is Under Pressure, Cooking Sous Vide. It's a professional book. It's a beautiful book for consumers and professionals. And we recommend that you pick it up if you're interested in this new way of cooking. It's fascinating. One of the things about sous vide cooking, Chef Keller, that is different is there's not the same sort of and you address this in your book, there's not the same visceral connection with the food. You know, one of the things that I always say, but when I move into a new house, one of the first things that I do as soon as we've unpacked is I make something that requires me to saute garlic and onions so that I can fill the house with the smells of my, you know, being there and my cooking. And you don't get that when stuff is being cooked underwater in a bag. So how does that affect the cooking experience for the chefs, for the home cook?
Well, you're right. I think that, but there are you know, opportunities to use conventional techniques when you're actually placing something in the bag. There's pre-cooking. You know, sometimes we sear off a piece of meat, we marinate, we do different things to the product before it goes in the bag. And of course, after it comes out of the bag, we have also opportunities to do things. If we cook a chicken breast in sous vide, we want to take it out. We want to then pan roast it to get that crispness and that quality of aroma and flavor that we're all used to, you know, through the Maillard browning of something or through the caramelization of skin or meat. So yes, there are those opportunities in the sous vide technique as well to use conventional style cooking, and it's actually needed because you want to have some of that aroma, some of that caramelization that we're so used to in a piece of meat or sometimes in a vegetable, and that still requires conventional style cooking. You know, certainly we need to be very careful using sous vide cooking because it could be something that becomes somewhat of a crutch. It is a way of precision cooking, and that in and of itself is reason to use it. But at the same time, we don't want to lose the craft of cooking, which is very, very important to me. So as I said in the beginning of the show, it adds another dimension to our cooking. It's another tool. It doesn't replace anything. We need to be very, very careful that we respect that it doesn't replace things, but it's a way of enhancing things or making things better when those moments are appropriate.
And I do think that any of the opponents of this movement, that's the fear, is that people will use this as a crutch and forget how to braise. You know, just no longer know how to braise a dish because they've been using this crutch of the sous vide machine.
Right. So it's so easy. And in some ways, you know, sometimes the product is much better, and we want to take advantage of that because it increases the quality of the product. But again, we also want to make sure that, you know, us, you know, the chefs as well as the young cooks coming up in the next generation and generations after that, still are learning how to cook a piece of meat or how to poach a lobster tail or, you know, how to braise an oxtail, how to cook an artichoke without oxidation. I mean, these kinds of things, which, you know, are benefited from sous vide cooking.
It's like learning to multiply. It's like not learning to multiply using a calculator without ever learning to multiply. That's what I was trying to say.
Exactly.
Now, aside from the book, you know, we know of your restaurants. We've eaten at Per Se in New York a number of times, one of our favorite dining experiences. We've eaten at the French Laundry in California. We've eaten at Bouchon in California. You're opening another Bouchon in Los Angeles, right, in Beverly Hills?
Yeah, actually Beverly Hills, right on Cannon, across from our friend Wolfgang Puck Spago.
And what's the story with that place? What's why there?
Well, you know, it's I was born in Southern California, so it's almost like I'm going home. But more important, you know, we have a really great connection with Angelino's here in Northern California, and also in Las Vegas, where our second Bouchon is. So as an opportunity for Bouchon to continue to expand. We looked at where we would do that, and Los Angeles certainly makes the most sense for those reasons. Is we're recognized, we share the same customers, we share the same values. It's almost like going home to me. I lived in Los Angeles before moving to Yountville. I was born in Southern California. So we're really, really excited about bringing Bouchon to Los Angeles.
Well,
and Beverly Hills in particular.
We have no doubt that it will be another Thomas Keller success.
Thank you.
Thomas Keller's current book is Under Pressure, Cooking Sous Vide. You can find out about it and even pick it up at restaurantguysradio.com. Chef Keller, thanks for coming on the show again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to have you. Hey, stick with us. We'll be back on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and restaurantguysradio.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Thomas Keller, brand new cooking method, and I'll tell you something.
Well, an old cooking method, not just a brand
yeah,
new.
Yeah, but...
But really being used by every great restaurant now at this point, you can expect them to have an immersion circulator and a vacuum pack machine in the restaurant.
And I'll tell you something else. Every great restaurant, almost every great restaurant, doesn't know as much about how to use it well as Thomas Keller. And this book, really, I learned a bunch of...
Huge resource.
Stuff.
Huge... So many products that I would never even have considered putting in an immersion circulator. I mean, fruits and different vegetables and things that he's got, that he's using here that I wouldn't even consider using.
Well, and the nuance of hitting it all. You know, there aren't a lot of, one of the reasons this isn't widely available for a home cook is the mastering the nuance of what is exactly the right temperature and how long exactly should you leave it, because it's not like you can open the bag. I mean, actually you can, but it's really, you can't just poke it in the pan and say, oh, what do you think? Slice off a little piece.
He's created a lot of shortcuts for restaurants right here. With this particular book, there's just a lot of, you know, how do I get my duck to be this certain texture, this certain temperature? Yeah.
But I'll tell you, here's one of the things that concerns me. One of the other things we need to realize is that a lot of the times, very often food comes out of the sous vide, out of the bag, out of the vacuum, and needs to be seared and finished in a pan.
Absolutely.
The one thing with sous vide you don't get is you don't get any crispness or caramelization or anything.
For
in the
instance,
pan.
We have a sous vide bacon dish that we have on our menu right now.
Right.
We sous vide the bacon for 8 hours.
Right.
But when that bacon comes out of the sous vide, it must be seared in order to get that nice crispy texture.
Because otherwise,
the
it's just kind of, you don't
otherwise
want
it's not
baby
right.
food.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not right.
Sous vide is very forgiving once you know the recipe. Once you get into a recipe, and it's quite easy, much easier to make pretty good mediocre food. you know, where and one of the things that this is going to allow is the use in the industry more of commissary kitchens. Of, you know, you have one kitchen that services five restaurants from that chain in the area, and frankly, it's going to raise the bar for mediocre cuisine.
Hey, but you
which
know
is,
what?
Which is, I'm sorry, it's a good thing. It's raising the bar and being better quality food is not a bad thing. But I just, I like the position, and I mean, we obviously are going to take it to the next level and
sure.
have a skilled chef, you know, finish the foie gras, even if he uses sous vide to get it, you know, most of the way there. And we're going to put it in the bag fresh and take it out that day. But there is the ability to bag stuff up, freeze it.
But hold on, bag it in Michigan.
Right.
Freeze it.
Overnight it to wherever it's going.
Overnight it, ship it. For freeze
second
it for
day.
A week,
yeah.
okay,
right,
and
but
ship
even
it
to
across
ship it
the
fresh,
country.
But even to ship it fresh. And, you know, I think that there is a value to having a standalone restaurant with a talented chef who knows how to cook in the kitchen as opposed to someone who can cut open a bag and...
Well, Chef Keller said it right. This is a technique. This is
yes.
one other tool in the kitchen that right. should be used. And
yep.
that's what it should be used.
Yep.
It should be another tool in the kitchen for a great restaurant to use. Now, what I'll tell you is I know for sure there will be some chain restaurants that this is their platform.
Yep.
This
yep.
is what they do. It's everything gets shipped across the country in a bag, and it'll be probably a mediocre chain restaurant.
Yep.
Maybe better than some of the other chain restaurants.
Yeah, probably.
But the great restaurants will do this technique and use it as part of their arsenal.
Yeah, part of the repertoire.
Part of the repertoire, and it'll be great when mm-hmm. used right. This is a great technique.
Well, it already is. I mean, we use it often, mm-hmm. and it's. I mean, the textures you can get in the center of some of these are just thrilling.
It is thrilling.
It's thrilling.
If you guys remember, Top Chef Hung did a lot with sous vide, and as a matter of fact, I think he even won the competition with a sous vide duck dish. There's a reason for it. It's really like we've talked about, really forgiving in some ways. And can be really thrilling and really you can get exactly what you want.
Well, and you know, it's funny. When you boil something, you necessarily are, you know, the water is taking some. This is the old joke, right, about the difference between Irish cuisine and French cuisine are the same. You know that joke, right, Mark?
Of course.
Well, we'll tell our listeners. This joke, Irish cuisine, Mark's part French and I'm, well, Irish. And the Irish cuisine and French cuisine are the same. They start with the same base. The French take a big pot of water and they throw in a bunch of vegetables and onions and carrots and celery and they boil it overnight until it's reduced by half and they just boil it for hours and hours and hours overnight on a low boil until it's reduced by half. They then strain off all the spent vegetables and they have a beautiful stock from which they make soup or sauce or whatever. Irish do the same damn thing and then throw away the liquid and serve you the vegetables they've cooked for 12 hours, you know. The punchline of that joke is flavor always leaches into the boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And in sous vide cooking, if the Irish were faced with those vegetables in a bag, they would have just had hot water at the
right.
end of the day. And they would have had to eat the vegetables, and my people's cuisine would have been better.
Like it or not, they'd have eaten flavor.
Oh, Lord. All right, well, we hope you've enjoyed the hour with Thomas Keller. If you haven't visited Per Se or the French Laundry...
two of the greatest restaurants in the world.
I hope you've enjoyed the hour with the Restaurant Guys. I know we certainly have. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, WCTC AM, and RestaurantGuysRadio.com.